Good morning. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. My name's Tom Flanagan, and we sure appreciate your being at the other end of the telephone lines and the email machine and the Twitter device and the multiple ways we have to communicate with each other in this technologically miracle era that we live in. 414-1234 is the local phone number if long distance twixt you and us. 1-800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, and the Twitter account is at WFSU Perspective. Singular, because it is such a singular show. You know, as time goes on and we get older, we kind of expect that the excess pounds might become a little bit harder to get rid of. I know whereof I speak on that score. But for too many of our kids, even those in elementary school or maybe even kindergarten, those excess pounds are already a problem. And they're not going away. Childhood obesity rates in our area are growing, and with those rates, a multitude of health threats, including things like type 2 diabetes and even cardiovascular trouble. This morning on Perspectives, we're going to talk with some folks who are leading the fight against childhood obesity, including the upcoming Stomp Out Diabetes event, which happens a week from this Saturday. So we got a lot of weighty stuff to talk about here today. Let's go around the table and meet the panel here. First, a gentleman who I know you know already, Nick Maddox, the new executive director for the Foundation for Leon County Schools, and also vice chair of the Leon County Commission, I hear there, sir.
Yeah, that's my other gig, I guess.
Nick, it's great to have you on there. And how's everything treating you at the foundation? Boy, you fill some pretty big shoes there with Sheila Costigan retiring, and you're the guy now. So,
yeah, well, it's a steep learning curve. You know, I thought, when I took office in 2010, I had a lot to learn, but taking over in the foundation and trying to fill the shoes of Sheila Costigan, that learning curve is even steeper than what I tried to conquer in 2010. So every day is an adventure. Learning a lot along the way. As soon as I came in, we had two events to get done. One was Principal for a Day, and now we're on to Stomp.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, coming up here just about a week from Saturday, and we're going to be talking about that in just a moment here. Dawn Springs joins us, too. She's director of the Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare Metabolic Health Center, and you've been on before. Good to see you, Dawn.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So let's see. Talk a little bit just for a second about the Metabolic Health Center and what that's all about.
So the Metabolic Health Center is an outpatient program with a hospital, TMH, and we have a few different sub-departments in there that work with people with chronic conditions, people with diabetes and endocrine issue, people with lipid problems, and people with overweight and obesity. And we work in all that center to help those people diagnosed with those conditions to have medical treatment, but also get nutrition counseling and education and support for their conditions as well.
Wonderful resource to have here in the community, and we'll ask some more about that here in just a little bit. Slightly under the weather, but we are so happy you could join us today. Courtney Atkins, Executive Director for Whole Child Leon, and good to see you, Courtney, and thanks for coming. We know that you're not feeling super good today, but
thanks for having me, Tom. It's always a pleasure.
Quick here before the next coughing spell hits, though. The childhood obesity rates in Leon County, absolutely insane right now. The conventional wisdom was, about 30%, around one-third. Isn't it terrible? Isn't it horrible? In some cases now, we are pushing 50%.
That's right, Tom. You know, until 2015, while we were collecting the data in the schools, we weren't getting it analyzed and having it all together. So it's been some years since we've been able to look at the first grade, third grade, and sixth grade BMI rates, and it's really astonishing, and it's truly an epidemic. We have, as the student goes up in age, the rates get higher. We, like you said, we have some of our sixth grade classes have more than 50% overweight or obese. We're not doing a good job. Anecdotally, you can look around and kind of see, but when you look at these numbers, it's really astonishing.
Well, Nick Maddox, the Foundation for Leon County Schools, which you now head, had started this Stomp Out Diabetes event here several years ago. I remember the first one. And a couple hundred kids came out and their parents and bounced around and everyone had a good time. This thing, though, has grown like crazy. So talk about the one upcoming.
Yeah, Stomp will be April the 8th. We'll start at 8:30. We'll have a fun walk that it will be led by myself and the superintendent, Mr. Hannah. And it's going to be an awesome time. I think last year they had about 1,600 people come out. The biggest issue that we had was parking. So get there early, get you a good park. But we did a walkthrough yesterday. There will be a fishing derby. There'll be different workout equipment out there. Folks from Premier will be out there teaching some classes. I mean, it's just going to be amazing. Got a whole lineup of different acts that'll be on the stage. Performing from our 21st century programs, headed up by Ashley Scott at Leon County School. So this is going to be amazing. It's something that I think that everybody should experience. So if people listening have time, they should definitely come out. Now, yesterday, again, this is my first stomp, and so yesterday I made the comment to Lynn over at Premier. I said, you know, it's the same day as the spring game. He said, yeah, it was same day as spring game last year too, but we still got about 1,600 people coming. So either if you're going to the spring game or not, that morning we'll be out there waiting on you to give you something to do early that morning before you go out to the stadium.
Well, we can call this the pregame warm-up, right?
That is right, the pregame warm-up. I like it.
Now, this is going to be out at the Tallahassee Museum again?
Yes, sir, Tallahassee Museum. Gates open at 8:30. Fun walk will start at 9:30, and the acts will start, on stage will start about 9 o'clock as well.
Oh, that is great. And the other thing cool about the museum, besides the fact that they have this wonderful tree-to-tree thing, that right. You talk about working out.
Oh,
man, goodness. There's no way you can get through that without pulling just about every tendon and muscle you got. But, man, that is one way to get a workout, although it is ramped up. They got three different ones out there.
Oh, so. Definitely. They mentioned that they may want us to run that 1 mile walk, and I told them not a chance. maybe 15 years ago, but today in my current state, I'm not running anything.
You got to keep the knees good, you know.
That's right. That is the key.
Don, what is going on here, though? How come we got so many overweight kids and overweight grown-ups too, which is what the little kids will become? What's going on?
I think that there's a lot of statistics that have come out over the years, and the number of states that have rates of overweight and obesity just keeps increasing. The rates get higher and higher, and I think that has led to epidemics of diabetes and hypertension and cardiovascular disease, all stemming from the lifestyle changes and overweight. And I think that the habits that people form at early ages and our lifestyles have led to some of the sedentary behavior and risk factors for developing those conditions. So I think that things that we can do to promote physical activity, better nutrition, I think those things will help reduce the rates of overweight and obesity. But I think it's a community problem and one that needs to involve a lot of different stakeholders.
Yeah, because I'm thinking parents need a lot of help on this, Courtney Atkins, because of the fact that I hear some parents say, oh, I never let my kids out. Are you crazy? This is a dangerous world. There are people with guns. They're going to be hit by cars. They'll be attacked by a python. No, that's South Florida. But still, I want – if you're going to sit in there and play video games or watch TV or chat with your friends online, that's fine. At least I know where you are and you're safe. Have a Cheeto.
Exactly. You know, it does start with the parent. You know, Whole Child focuses on young children, and we are really looking at 2-year-olds to 5-year-olds and starting those healthy habits early. And you know, face it, the kids aren't the ones shopping in the grocery stores. They're not the ones that are feeding themselves. The parents are preparing those foods. And we know that there's some education required. We know that families need to model, parents need to model for their children. We work with families a lot, and the parents, we do some focus groups with young parents especially, and, oh, I don't eat vegetables, I don't like vegetables. And so, you know, children need to see and be exposed to these things early on to develop those habits. But in this day and time with technology and people being fearful about, you know, kids, you know, I rode my bike outside and ran around, but I'm old. But, yeah, we really need to figure it out. There are other ways to get physical activity, be it a family. We need to do more in the schools. There are community centers in most neighborhoods, but we have to face there are neighborhoods in this community that don't have a safe place for children to be out.
Sure. And Nick Maddox, as far as the schools are concerned, as Courtney was saying, there has been a refocusing on healthier eating in the schools now, too. So what's the latest on that here for Leon County, especially?
The superintendent has put an emphasis on childhood obesity, and we just heard him at one of his speeches during at a Whole Child Leon event. As a matter of fact, he talked about his focus and how he really wanted to really, really engage our kids about being more healthy and things of that nature. And so healthy food goes with healthy weight. And so in our cafeterias and on our campuses, they got rid of the vending machines. They're trying to give healthier options from all the way down to maybe even considering salad bars in our cafeterias for some kids. They want to consider those types of things. So it's a lot going on. It's a big focus for everyone. So it's one that the foundation wants to help out as much as we can to help ensure that the funds are there to conquer the problem as well.
I know some schools even have gardens.
Yes.
That they now have the kids out actually producing their own vegetables and all.
That's right.
And then bringing in people to help. Since cooking shows are such a big deal, you know, what kid doesn't want to be a next Duff or even a Bobby Flay or something like that? I mean, celebrity chefs. You know, how do you make these vegetables taste really, really good? And there's lots of ways to do that.
So. It's quite amazing because my daughter loves the cooking shows. And I remember, I mean, I was a kid. She's 9. She goes to Conley. And I remember 9 years old, you know, I still kind of watch Looney Tunes and the Jetsons, but she wants to watch Iron Chef. And I'm like, you're 9. You watch a cartoon or something? But she loves that stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah, but it teaches kids that it's more than just the pre-processed stuff that maybe they see pitched on the commercials and all. Mm-hmm. That's why I love some of the really sugary stuff that says, part of your complete diet. I think, oh, really? And it's like 90% fructose or sucrose or whatever, and that can't be really, really healthy. Hey, we want your input, too, with all the events that are coming up here relative to childhood obesity. And maybe even if you've got a success story, say you had a child who was tending towards the overweight side and you were able to get that turned around, or maybe even on your own. As we get older, those pounds, as we mentioned, become more and more difficult to dislodge, and maybe you've been successful in that, and you could share some of those helpful hints with us here on Perspectives as we talk about childhood obesity and some upcoming events such as the Stomp Out Diabetes happening April 8th at the Tallahassee Museum. Back on Perspectives, 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809, long distance, perspectives at WFSU.org is the email. And a reminder, you can always find the show online at WFSU.org. You just go to that address and click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and bam, Perspectives pops right up. We archive past shows. Usually within a couple, 3 hours after the program actually airs, and then it is online for you to listen back to whenever you would like. Childhood obesity, our topic here, the Stomp Out Diabetes event coming up at the Tallahassee Museum, as we mentioned before the break, April 8th, and Leon County's childhood obesity epidemic will be the focus of a community happening at the Turnbull Center 2 days after that on the 10th of April. What's up with that, Courtney?
That's right. That's being sponsored by the Early Childhood Obesity Prevention Work Group and its stakeholders. Like Don was talking about earlier, we have FSU College of Medicine. We have some pediatricians in town, Dr. Singh, Dr. Lionel Henry, Whole Child, the Tallahassee Food Network, part of the COPE partners, and many parents are part of this work group. We've been working for more than a year to really look at, talk to parents and physicians alike about what are the barriers to nutritious eating, how can physicians do a better job talking to the children and the parents. But this event is a community conversation. We realize that this is really a community issue. It's not just the schools. It's not just the parents. All sectors of our community really need to tackle this. So we're hoping that we can all get together, have some conversations, figure out what role we all play. If you're a business owner or you're working in the schools or you're a parent, how can we really do a better job in our community?
Let's talk about some of the health implications here, Dawn, if we could do that, since that is your bailiwick. At seeing this day in and day out, what does overweight do to the human body, whether you're a little kid or a full-blown grown-up? What are the downsides to just having too much physical poundage on you?
Well, I think there's some immediate effects in terms of quality of life and things that you're able to do during the day. The weight can be a barrier just physically in terms of moving around and being able to accomplish all the daily tasks that you would want to do, being able to get out. From a health perspective, also you can develop certain chronic conditions that are correlated with obesity. Type 2 diabetes is one of those, high blood pressure, heart disease. There can be some other issues as well. So there's correlations with all kinds of chronic conditions. So the cause factor, which caused first, you know, the diabetes causing obesity, obesity causing diabetes, that can be kind of a vicious cycle. But the obesity and overweight is definitely related to all those things. But the things that you can do behavior-wise to try and keep your weight at a normal weight or prevent obesity will also help you prevent those chronic conditions, diabetes and hypertension too. That's part of the impetus behind the STOMP and Stomping Towards Better Health is trying to create those good habits at young ages. But even if you already have chronic conditions, doing things towards or healthy eating or being physically active will also help you with the management of those conditions as well. So I think that obesity has a lot of corollaries, but I think that the habits that you form will help if you already have been diagnosed with one of those conditions or overweight, it definitely will help either side there.
414-1234, the number for Perspectives. That's where Barbara joins us on line one. Hey, Barbara, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
My question or comment is, why do public elementary schools here in Leon County give children gift certificates to restaurants like Chick-fil-A or Newberry's or Red Elephant as a reward for a good report card?
Wonderful question. We have someone from the Foundation for Leon County Schools right here to answer that. Nick,
okay.
Maddox, what do you think? I know that there are sponsorships and partnerships and all that kind of thing here, but
you know, Barbara, those that kind of program goes directly with Leon County Schools. I can't speak specifically for why they do it, but I think it's a valid question that you would have. I think if anything, it's just giving those kids some kind of reward. But you know, at the same time, with the childhood obesity rates that we have, I can understand a parent or a grandparent being concerned with those certificates being to unhealthy restaurants versus ones that focus more on healthier food. So I'll make sure that I take that back to the superintendent and mention that question came up during this show today.
And maybe that's a possibility even for an additional partnership where the restaurants, not all of their menus are, shall we say, unhealthy. There may be some, I don't know, it could be a teachable moment.
Well, and just speaking to what you just said, Tom, like I just started this whole thing of not eating any meat besides fish. And one of the restaurants that my family loves to go to is Chick-fil-A, which we usually get the grilled chicken, stuff like that. But since I've started not eating meat, what I've done is I've gone there, and instead of getting the market salad just with chicken, I'll get a market base with a honey mustard dressing. And surprisingly, I like it just as much as I did with the chicken. So what I've told my daughter, because she is on AB Honor Roll, she got that same thing. She's really into health these days. I even bought her a Fitbit. She loves it. But what I've told her is if you want to try to have a healthier option, you can do a grilled chicken, or you can just – ask for no meat on your salad or something like that to try to have a healthier option. So even if the partnership still exists here on, but you're right, it's a teachable moment of how to teach your children that even though you may have a certificate for an unhealthy restaurant, you don't have to eat unhealthy at that unhealthy restaurant.
Nick, while we're in your neck of the woods here, because of your background in athletics, one of the top guys I can think of in this community with your background at Florida State, the national championship team, and then on to the pros and all of that, your life was built on being healthy. It had to be. You had to perform. And now you can bring that message to so many kids. What about the other, some of the star athletes that we have in this town, at FSU, at FAM, mm-hmm. who can get into some areas maybe where they will be revered as probably no one else in getting out the message that kids, whether or not you aspire to be a professional basketball or football player, you got to be healthy.
Right. That's one thing that I attribute my healthiness and my enthusiasm about it to always having a coach that pushed me. I've been to Titus. I've been to Premier. Ernie Sims does a great job with his outfit. There's a guy in town by the name of O'Neal Brown who motivates folks to be healthy. I mean, there's so many options in Tallahassee in different, you know, gyms and trainers out there that can help you get to where you're trying to get to. You just have to seek them out. But in particular, when you look at the former athletes that have played at Florida State, Leroy Smith has a camp every year. Ernie Smith has a camp, has his own. Ernie Sims has his own gym that he does some athletic training in. Cromartie comes back, and even Anquan Bowden, those guys come back too. I mean, the athletes it's kind of second nature to us. It's not like we do it because we think about obesity in particular. It's just that when you spend your whole life running, working out, trying to eat healthy, it just becomes second nature, and so you feel like you can help others do the same thing. And so I think that's the motivation for us all.
Yeah, and that may be another opportunity here to get that kind of lifestyle more adopted mm-hmm. by kids who otherwise may not. Again, they're in the house, the parents know they're safe, but they're getting bigger day by day by day, and they're not active.
Well, another thing is how many kids, when you look at team sports, sports league across the county, the number of kids that are coming out are declining. My wife owns a dance studio, and she her numbers are growing. But if you look at, I'll be interested to know what the numbers are of kids in Pop Warner, or those who play basketball and organized teams, or even in the schools, how many are still in the band or track team and stuff like that. Back when we were younger, it was something that you automatically wanted to do. I mean, it wasn't a question of whether or not you were going to play a sport. But these days, kids aren't as interested as they used to be in getting out there and getting involved in those team sports.
Yeah, and that's remarkable. That's another cultural change that we're going through here. So, Courtney, anything from the whole Child Leon viewpoint of how to get kids more moving around, just doing something rather than sitting there?
Well, I think that, you know, what we've noticed, we have a sports club for youth that live in South City and on the South Side. And they, you know, while the kids might, once they get involved, we've seen that they're really, really excited about it and want to keep participating. But some of these kids have single parent families. Their mothers or fathers are working more than one job, and the transportation has been difficult. Some of these to the city leagues and different things, they're pretty inexpensive, but it's getting them there. So I think that's something we need to look at, and we need to look at these neighborhoods, you know, making sure that everyone has a neighborhood that they can be safe in getting out. They have a community center nearby. They have sidewalks or lighting that can make it safe for them to get out and be active.
Let's see if Alex has any idea, and then we'll get with you, Don, here, Alex, on line one. Hi, Alex. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hey, I'm glad you're talking about the activity side of the equation, because even though, you know, I'm all for a good diet and everything, I look back at my own childhood and think, you know, I was raised in the 70s. All we had was processed foods and sugar, you know, stuff. It was a terrible diet, but I didn't get overweight, and neither did any of my classmates. And when I look back at it, the thing that really was different back then is that the entertainment options were dramatically different. okay? There was no smartphones or computer phones. There was no Xboxes. I always thought that the worst thing about growing up was the fact that our family didn't have cable television. But now I look back in and realize that was a blessing because it kept me, you know, from in the afternoons when there was light outside, instead of watching Channel 2 Superstation and Ultraman and stuff, I was out there running around. And, you know, you just got to keep the kids active. I realize things are scary outside and people don't like to just let their kids just run around crazy. But, you know, you've got to get with other parents and have someone say, okay, well, they'll be in my backyard. Take turns and have people, you know, watch their kids, but let them get out there. Encourage them to get out there. And don't give them these entertainment options that involve sitting on your butt and exercising your thumbs. You know, that's just not, that's going to lead to a lifetime of, you know, I remember once reading on the internet about cardiovascular disease and all these people watching too much television and thinking to myself, oh, I'm so glad this doesn't apply to me. And I said, wait a minute, I'm sitting here reading the computer for the last 2 hours. This does apply to me, that the computer is television. It's not a sofa, but it's still a chair. And, you know, you have to actively go out of your way to go out there and say, you know, I'm always going to walk an hour or so. If I'm not going to talk on the phone at home. I'm going to get on my cell phone and walk and talk. Yeah. Or listen to an old radio drama on MP3 while I walk. You know, make it entertaining. Don't make it a task. But get out there and make sure that activity is just as much a part of your daily routine as eating and sleeping, because it's just as important.
That is a great, great point, Alex. And thanks so much for sharing that with us. I remember my mom, too. I'd get home from school, and I was this obsessive kid. I'd get my homework out of the way first. I didn't want it hanging over me. And then she'd say, okay, are you done? I said, yeah, yeah. She says, okay, get out. Using those very words. You know, I don't want to see you for another hour. Go. And she'd lock me out of the house, and I'd have to run around, you know, find some friends to play with or anything else. And then after an hour, I'd come back and dinner would be ready. So anyway, you wanted to comment on something, Dawn. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought those were great comments and suggestions, because I don't think the technology is going away. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's been interesting seeing creative solutions or creative ideas. And one of the organizations that I've become familiar with is Girls on the Run, that has an after-school running program that they work on with girls and teach them so much more in life skills, more than just the running. And I was just on their website this week, and I saw how many locations are opening up at various elementary school, and I think there's one middle school that has it. And I think that's a really great idea. It may not be for everyone, but from the girls that I've seen or know of that have gone through it, they've really gained some confidence. And it's not a sport per se, but it's physical activity and mentoring and a bunch of things that I think promote the physical activity, but, you know, also there's so much more they get out of it. They want to keep doing it. It's not physical activity like you're doing it just to get the physical activity. It has to be that you enjoy it, or there's something more to it, the confidence things that you get out of it too. And I thought for girls that's a nice creative solution, I think, in our community that people could access.
Yeah, and it's a fun thing too, because during that 5K graduating run, uh-huh. if you will, all the parents who are running with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of them are in super shape either, but that's okay. And everyone finishes, and it's a grand and glorious celebration. Dr. Singh joins us online, too. Hey, doctor, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Thank you for joining us. I really, really appreciate that.
My pleasure. This is something I'm very, very excited about. You know, it's something I see on a daily basis in my office. I've been a pediatrician for about 20 years, 15 of them here in Tallahassee, and I just see these rates going up, and I know it's going to take all of us working together to make a difference. This didn't happen overnight. The answer isn't going to work out overnight. It's going to take a lot of work, but I think we have a very involved community, and if we keep at it, we are already seeing the difference.
If I could ask you, doctor, when someone comes to your practice, your pediatric practice, and there is a young person there and they are overweight or obese, mm-hmm. other than saying, now, she or he has to lose weight, how do you approach that in giving the parents more substantive direction on how to make that happen?
Right. So all of us pediatricians probably review what we call the body mass index, and we look at their growth charts at every visit. You know, starting from the time they're 2 months old, we review their height, their weight, where they are in comparison to the rest of American children, or these are basically WHO charts. So the first sign when they start going up, we let them know, hey, you know, your child gained, you know, 5 pounds, say, in the last 6 months, which is something he should have gained over maybe 15 to 18 months. So tell me what's going on with you. You know, what changed? You know, you guys were doing good. What changed? And a lot of times you have to give the family a chance to talk. Sometimes, you know, mom may have had to take a second job, or dad's out of town, dad's, you know, in service overseas. So a lot of times what I've found is if we give the parent a chance to talk first and say, okay, these are the problems I'm encountering, then you tell them, okay, these are the things you could be doing to do better. You know, because really, remember, the child is overweight not because of the child, but because of what's happening at home.
So a more holistic approach than on trying to figure out what's going on there.
Right.
Doctor, if you could hang on with this for...
I'm here.
If you could hang on with this for a few moments here over the next break, we'll want to continue to touch base with you on how doctors and other healthcare professionals can be partners in this whole fight against childhood obesity and all the resulting illnesses and maladies that can come out of that. A reminder that you're listening to Perspectives on WFSU-FM, and our panel today talking about Leon County's childhood obesity epidemic and some upcoming events to try to help mass the community together in a coherent effort to attack that problem and hopefully get some solutions in play. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809, long distance, and perspectives at WFSU.org. We'll be back. Back on Perspectives. If you're just joining us again, some big happenings in our community relative to the battle against childhood obesity, which again is a battle against grown-up obesity, because the two are connected. It's amazing how that works. April 8th at the Tallahassee Museum. It is the annual Stomp Out Diabetes. And Nick, that's the eighth year?
It is the eighth year. And this year, actually, Tom, what we did was we took the emphasis off of, because of what we're going through with childhood obesity, we took the emphasis off of diabetes in particular and changed it to childhood obesity as a whole. Because if you conquer childhood obesity, you conquer type 2 diabetes. And so it's students stomping out childhood obesity this year.
Okay, so it's a refocus here. The thing is the same. Dr. Singh is still on the line with us. And Dr. Singh, how do you take I guess you were talking there from a pediatric viewpoint of childhood obesity there. How do you get the whole family being a little bit more healthy? Because so many times I'm sure you see that you have some pretty overweight parents who come in with an overweight child, and you can't just solve the problem of the overweight child, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I tell them very openly, I said, you know, your child is not driving himself to the grocery store and is not driving himself to McDonald's, you know. And I look at the moms and I say, you know, as mothers, we work so hard to keep our family healthy. So I know that you want this. You want your child to be at a healthy weight. You want your child to be a healthy adult. And you want to, you know, get him to a point. You want to get him to a starting point where, you know, you're not holding him back by having overweight. So you definitely appeal to it, and you talk to them about their diet. And, you know, the BMI, like we say we review the BMI, but the BMI is not the one and only factor because, like we talk about it, our athletes may be over, you know, may be high on the BMI, but muscle weighs a lot more than fat. So we look at the child as a whole, definitely as a whole. We talk about what they can be doing to increase their activity level. We talk about, hey, this is a question of calories in and calories out. So we're going to work on your food. Let's talk about what are you eating for breakfast? What are you eating for lunch? Can we start packing school lunch? What can we do about dinner? Mama, what can you do about planning ahead so that you're not waiting till 7 o'clock and going through, you know, a drive-through to get dinner? I tell them that, you know, we're all working moms. We all have to figure out how to make this work. I talk to the kids about how can you add activity in. You know, I appeal to the schools, like, please let's get PE back in. Let's get the children moving. We talk, as a mother, I tell the families that we did our spelling words when our kids were riding their bicycles around the neighborhood, if that was the only time we could find. You have to squeeze it in wherever you can find. And There are neighborhoods that it's not safe to walk in. You know, we talk about what can you do at home? What can you, you know, can you turn on your TV? Can you download some programs that you can exercise at home in the safety of your home? We talk about that you cannot stick with something that you don't enjoy. So you have to find an activity that you enjoy. If you like dancing, can you, you know, join something at church? Can you join a dance troupe? Can you figure out what you can, you know, where you can get your activity in.
So it's
that help.
It's not a one-size-fits-all thing, and there are lots of options to try to get people not only eating healthier but also more active. And Nick Maddox also is a Leon County Commissioner. We do have a lot of parks here that people can take the kids to and recreate as a family.
Well, see, Tallahassee and Leon County is heavy. We take a lot of pride in our parks around here, and we do have a lot of parks for people to play in, and we're trying to create more and more every day. And not only do we have those parks, we have greenways as well, trails, and everything. And we have Trailahassee, where if you want to, you know, identify a trail and kind of look at what it looks like and how difficult it is, you can go there to find it. But there's plenty of ways out there for those who want to be active. For them to be active in Leon County and Tallahassee.
We'll give a plug here. We saw the new master plan for the Appalachie Regional Park came out there last night. That is awesome.
I'm excited about that. I got a call from Corey Simon yesterday. He said, you're not going to move the football fields. I said, no, you guys still going to be playing out there. We're just kind of planning the rest of the facility. But I brought that to the table probably about a year ago and asked that we finish that master plan. And I'm so excited about it. So excited about it. It's long overdue. And it's amazing how we took something that was seen as not so much of an asset. It used to be the old landfill. And now we're turning it into a community jewel. And hopefully as many people as possible take advantage of it.
Yeah, I can't believe the number of track teams nationwide that are now using that facility as part of regional competition and all that. That's pretty cool.
All right, short story is I got a call from FSU, and they wanted to us to do a couple things to it. They said they thought it could be a very viable track out there, and we did. And now look at what it is and how many tourists come in town just for sporting events and just to take a run on that trail.
Okay. Courtney Atkins, as far as Whole Child Leon, let's look ahead a little bit here. What other resources can you guys kind of help to focus into this entire effort that maybe you're not now or expand upon things that you're already doing?
I think we're working hard with this early childhood obesity work group, which Dr. Singh is a part of, bringing parents and providers together to talk about the challenges. And we're working hard with the school district to see if we can really get all our schools district-wide to implement some of the good policies that are already in place that will help get kids more active. It'll help keep healthier foods on campus. fundraisers and that sort of thing and get parents engaged as well. Now that we have this obesity information and the BMI information, we need to share it. We need to share it with all the principals at all the schools so they can really have a base point to work towards reducing those numbers in the years to come.
It's the old, you can't solve a problem until you know exactly what you're dealing with, right?
Right. And I think it's time that as a community we say, you know, enough's enough. We have to, you know, it sounds cliche, it takes a village, but it really does in this case. We have to look at the workplace. We have to look at it, work with parents, the schools, our churches, you know, really get all sectors involved.
We have a Sheila on line one. I'm not sure if it is the Sheila, but we will find out. Hey, Sheila.
Hey, Tom.
It is. Sheila Costigan, I knew you'd be checking in here before the show was out. Thanks so much, and particularly for setting this up, Sheila, and for your many, many years of service there with the Foundation for Leon County Schools.
Well, it's my pleasure. I want to first thank the panel for being there and the hard work and dedication Whole Child Leon and Tallahassee Memorial Hospital has given to this effort for the past. Well, we've been doing this, I know Courtney and I, for 10 years, and we have made headway. And I secondly want to commend Leon County Schools. They're one of the first school districts in the state to make sure that recess is reinstated back into our school day, which is a Herculean task because it's 30 minutes that schools could be using that time for dedicated testing or remedial work. But we're making sure that kids feel good about exercise and feel good about movement. You know, those kids who can't get involved in team sports, it's important that they understand that any kind of movement is good movement, and to get them out from in front of the TV and to get them outside. So thanks to our schools for making sure that this is happening. We've also, thanks to the efforts of our 95210 program and Courtney's work and the COPE Coalition, our schools do have some soft policies in place where they're not allowing candy sales and sugary substance sales to raise monies, and they're encouraging parents to bring healthier choices for snacks, and we're actually using produce that our students are growing in gardens in our kitchens, and there's much, much, much going on in our schools, and thanks to our wellness, the Foundation Wellness Grants that have enabled some of this. But Dr. Singh is where I want to go back to because she's absolutely right. While your children spend 7 hours in our schools, they spend the rest of those times, especially on the weekends at home, and it's up to parents to help us send the message and to make healthier choices. So I just wanted to thank her and to go back and return to her about what parents can do and what resources are in our community to get parents on board.
It sounds like a great transition over there. If we can go back to Dr. Singh for some helpful hints on that. Again, Sheila Costigan, thanks for everything that you have done for low these many years. And I have a feeling that you are just not going to fade away into the nether regions. You're going to stay involved there. Dr. Singh, what are some basic helpful hints that you can give parents who maybe they're seeing a few extra pounds creep up on the kids and these pounds are not going away? What can they do?
So the first thing is to, of course, make them aware. You know, a lot of time the parent doesn't even notice that the child is overweight. They just look healthy to them. So a lot of times we get pushback from the parents when we tell them that, you know, your child's getting a little overweight. They're like, no, and especially if the grandparents are in the room, because some of this is cultural. They don't want their child to look thin and scrawny. And so I have to kind of, you know, tell them that, no, this is the way your child is supposed to look. You know, it's okay if you could count their ribs. It's okay if they don't have a lot of meat in their bones. So we have to kind of sometimes go against their cultural norms. And then you have to work with them and say, you know, you can't accuse them. You can't make them feel bad about themselves. Some of this has to be more like a partnership. So you have to work with them, tell them, what can I do to make this easier for you? What information can I get you? Can I tell you more about the, you know, where to get fresh produce? Where can you squeeze in the time to do quicker food preps? I think just making them aware of all the community resources that we have would be the biggest help that we can get them, and to make them feel like you don't have to do this alone. There are people here to help you, but you have to want to help yourself and your child.
Wonderful point, Doctor. And the other thing to take advantage of, I guess, Dawn Springs, is that by nature, kids are active. The blood seems to flow faster and the metabolism is a little bit more accelerated than us older folks. And the natural state of kids is to run around and move and be active.
Yeah, I think you could ask any parent of a toddler and they say the natural state is entropy for the kids, I think. And I do think that they enjoy being outside and doing things together. It's social, it's emotional, it's physical, it's mental activity and being moving. I think that is a good break from things that are sedentary during the day. And I think that they really enjoy it. But I think we've had to become creative in opportunities to allow them to do that and to encourage that, and from the adult side as well. And I think we enjoy it and we get benefits. We have less stress and things when we can be outdoors and doing other things too. So I think it's sort of a family-focused initiative and something that would benefit the whole family to encourage physical activity in fun ways and creative ways with other people in the shade, in the morning, you know, whatever works for you. You kind of have to maybe try some different things out, but you could do a bunch of different things to encourage the physical activity as a family, I think.
Well, one of the first things, of course, is to take advantage of one of those resources that we were talking about just a moment ago. Coming up April 8th, Tallahassee Museum, Nick Maddox, no longer just stomp out childhood diabetes. We are stomping out childhood obesity, right?
Yes, sir. This is exactly what we're doing. Come on out and have a good time. It's about 1,600 last year. We're expecting about the same this year. And we have vendors out there showcasing their things that could help with obesity, as well as a fishing derby, which seems to be pretty popular, and a one-mile walk, a fun walk, led by myself and the superintendent of schools, Rocky Hanna.
And you've also got lots and lots of critters out there. I think that the guest animal is still those otters that always put on quite a show there. But you've got the Florida panthers and the bobcats and the deer and the...
Well, last year they said, Tom, believe it or not, they caught a deer swimming across the fishing derby pond. Yeah. They actually put it on Facebook, said it went viral. During the event. Pretty cool.
Did it win? That's what I want.
Yeah, it was out there. I didn't know that deer could swim, but apparently they can.
Apparently.
Promote physical activity for all. Deer, people.
Now, how many overweight deer have you seen? I tell you.
I hadn't seen many. Well, not mean live ones.
And well, 2 days after the Stomp Out Childhood Childhood Obesity event at the Tallahassee Museum, we've got Courtney Atkins, the Childhood Obesity Epidemic Community Discussion going on at the Turnbull Center.
That's right, a community conversation. We're really encouraging all sectors of the community, parents, business owners, school administrators, our elected officials, everybody to come out and see, learn a little bit about where we are right now with our obesity rates with children and figure out how, you know, what our roles are collectively, individually to try to address this issue.
And Dawn Springs, of course, you have lots of other, away from the scheduled events here, lots of other community resources that are available. If parents have any questions or they're seeking counseling or even medical intervention for these kinds of things, we're kind of lucky in that regard here, right?
Sure. And at the Stomp event, we're also going to have some screenings there and some more information. So that will be another place that parents can get more information. And I wanted to say a word that we also received a diabetes prevention grant, not geared towards children, but for adults. So later this summer, we're going to be trying to put some resources towards developing a prevention program for diabetes, for type 2 diabetes.
Okay. And Dr. Singh, as far as the area's pediatric community and other healthcare providers, is this becoming more of an accepted situation that regardless what your specialty may be, or if you are a primary care physician, this is something that everyone's going to have to work on?
Absolutely. I don't think there's a single pediatrician in this community that doesn't address this at every visit. And it doesn't have to be a checkup visit. It's something that you may be coming in for a cold and cough, and we notice that you've gained a lot of weight. I think almost every one of us is going to address that issue. It's something that we're all very aware of. It's something we've all seen increase during our practice life. It's something that we see in our own children as well. And I think we're all very involved in this. in making sure we emphasize that increased physical activity, and in any form, and that you don't have to be on a varsity team or a JV team to be playing sports. Sports is for fun. We want you to find something that makes you feel good. We want you moving. We want you to learn how to eat healthy. What is a balanced diet? What is a, what is the right portion for you? Because even healthy food, you eat too much of it, it's not very healthy for you. So it's something that we are all discussing pretty much at every visit, every opportunity we get.
We thank you for talking about it during our perspectives this morning, Dr. Singh, and for checking in with us and giving us some really great advice on how to keep overweight kids from becoming overweight grown-ups, because it is much, much more difficult to take off those pounds once you hit a certain part of your life. I don't know why that is. Dawn Springs, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it, as always. Hope to have you back on. Courtney, hope you're feeling better there.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay, and of course, Nick Maddox. Thank you, sir. We'll be looking for you and Superintendent Hannah to be leading the charge at the Tallahassee Museum coming up Saturday a week, April 8th, for the Stomp Out Childhood Obesity event. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Evan Rossi. Lydell Rawls on the phones and email machine, and I'm Tom Flanagan. We learned a bit about healthier eating and moving around today, but of course eating anything is a challenge if your teeth aren't up to the task. Dental health is also a big deal for both kids and grown-ups in this age of processed sugary foods, and we'll talk that over next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.